T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Molly and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. That is the voice of Joe Madden. You heard John Lackey there. And our thanks to the fine folks at WSCR for the highlights. Cubs have been down this road before. They've trailed before in playoff series. And
down 3-1 in the World Series, came
it's
back.
It's difficult to, you know, they tie up the game, tie up the series in Washington. Then they fly to Los Angeles, and we had heard about the fact that they were diverted before we got off the air, but we could not confirm it. And it wasn't until about 10 o'clock Chicago time, I think, that word broke out that they had indeed been on the ground for 5 hours and were departing to Los Angeles. So, Dustin is right. There is an excuse for the exhaustion and everybody going from a 5-game series against the team that was waiting for him and rested and flying across the country, running into some travel problems. I don't know if it explains everything. I don't know if it explains all that went on, but certainly it did underscore how bad the bullpen is, because you pulled Quintana probably too early, and in my opinion, you did anyway. And of course, you also have the issues of not being able to hit. Maybe the hitters were all tired. Maybe no one got enough sleep. Joe looked exhausted when he showed up at the news conference, which he had to go to.
He had to hustle right over to Dodger Stadium.
And Joe loves to get his sleep. We know that. I mean, he's not a guy that is an early riser by any stretch of the imagination.
In hindsight,
he doesn't even want to show up to the games on time,
right? In hindsight, was their first mistake not starting Lackey instead of Quintana in game one? If the guy's emotionally drained and you have to get him out of there.
Now, when you think of the fact that it was his wife that had irregular heartbeat.
She took some medicine, she had a reaction.
Because the initial report was someone had a panic attack, and then it turned out, because you would imagine there'd be trainers and doctors and at
oh,
all.
Sure.
At the,
it's
at
a
the,
full traveling
yes,
party. And,
yes.
and there was a doctor, at least one on board. And when I first heard they were diverted, it was because I didn't hear the medical emergency part, that the pilot had run out of his legally allowed flying time. I'm like, well, how does that
That's
happen?
That's why it took them so long to get out of it.
Right, because they had to get another pilot after. So, I mean,
because they were
one issue created the other issue by diverting.
Sure.
Now he can't continue to fly legally because you're only allowed so many hours to fly. But okay, and Theo talked about, well, we have to talk about it. And Quintana did stay with his wife, obviously, and flew to L.A. on his own after, figure out she was okay going to a local hospital. Should they have started Lackey against Kershaw and then Quintana?
It tells you they didn't trust Lackey.
Right.
That they would prefer an example. But now
you trust him against Justin.
This is the incongruity.
Right.
This is why you can't understand what the hell decision was made.
And Quintana's emotionally drained, so you have to go get him, even though, wouldn't he be more emotionally drained going into the game? In a big series, after being through what he went through, wouldn't you give him a day to decompress and kind of collect himself? But anyway, they did what they did, and last night, I get it. There's not a great matchup against Justin Turner the way he's just ripping the cover off the ball in the postseason, but Wade Davis is a better situation than John Lackey, doing something he hadn't done in his career, pitching on consecutive nights out of the bullpen.
312-644-6767 is the telephone number. Eric is on the road. Good morning, Eric.
Hey, guys.
Morning.
Good morning, Eric.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, Joe needs to do something with their lineup. It is just embarrassing. They're swinging at junk pitches, high fastballs, balls in the dirt. He has Hap, LaStella, all these fresh guys on the bench. Javier has not done anything for us. Bryant is struggling big time. Rizzo's struggling big time. He needs to do something to shake this lineup. Either change the order, bring Hap in, bring LaStella in, shift Schwarber down. Hit Zobrist down, he needs to do something, and he needs to do something faster. We're going to find ourselves just like in the series against the Mets.
We have texters suggesting that Chris Bryant gets a seat in time and Stella starts. It's not going to happen.
I don't think. I think that Rizzo and Bryant, those are guys that
you're not winning a World Series by benching either one of those guys.
You're not helping anything by benching those guys. But I think that Javi Baez is 0 for the playoffs, right? So
his defense made that catch.
This is the Jay Hay argument, right? But I mean, you got to do something to pick that lineup up. It wouldn't bother me if they if LaStella was playing, if Hap was playing. It wouldn't bother me. I would not, because I think there are a lot of movable parts in the outfield, and I think that it's a little different than some when you're talking about. I mean, Bryant has not been good.
No, it's
Rizzo
been terrible.
Has
been
not
awful.
Been good. But those are the guys that are going to win for you.
Right.
Those are the guys that have won for you, and you got to hope that they work their way out of it. And
if they don't, you're going nowhere
anyway.
You're
not
going
to win it anyway. I agree. So I think – but Baez, you could sit down. I know that he's got a great glove. I know that not many guys can make the tag he made yesterday, and it wasn't even close at second base on that – He whacks him in the head. That was awesome. He is really good. The tag metrics are unbelievable. John is on the road. Good morning, John.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hey, you guys took my thunder talking about Bryant. But I'd like to touch on one other thing then.
What were you going to say about Bryant?
Oh, he ought to put a broom at the end of his bat to clean the plate. He's swinging everything in the dirt. He has no patience. None at all. He's swinging at anything and everything.
Isn't that weird, though?
But you know what? He missed a room service fastball, which, you know, is not Chris Bryant either when he's on. You know, he could have driven one pitch. So, yeah, he's swinging a junk, and then when he gets his pitch, he's missing it too.
But would you sit him down?
And his strike's all so bad it ain't funny, but here's the other thing.
Man, would you sit him down, John?
I go nuts with that. What's that?
Would you sit him down?
Would I sit Bryant down? God, I don't know.
No.
That's what I'm saying. I think you got to let him work. No is the answer. You got to let him work.
You're coming back home.
I agree. I agree.
But you know what? Answer me this, you guys. That shift that Madden pulls, that's almost like a 2-point conversion. It's got to fail more than it works. That last night drove me nuts.
Do you know they shift the least of any team in the major leagues, believe it or not? They do not do a lot of shifts. And
backfired on him.
Yeah,
2 nights in a row.
Yeah, they're not living and dying with the shift. He did a lot more of that stuff when he was down in Tampa, and now that he's got some great defensive players, he's just not doing that.
Yeah.
312-644-6767. We're going to take a quick timeout. We come back. We'll bring in David Haw. David Haw was there, and we'll ask him if it seemed as flat in person as it did on television, because it just seemed flat, Brian. It just seemed like
when you're not hitting, it seems like you have no
energy and you're not trying. That's what it looks like, but that's not the case. It's just you're not hitting.
This segment of our show brought to us by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Mully and Handley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Handley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. David Haw joins us on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. Your CarX man has the lowest tire prices right now. And David, of course, the Tribune lead sports columnist. He writes the In the Wake of the News column. And we're interested in the boys of summer still, buddy. And you were out in L.A. Did you have any issues getting there? Everything okay? You didn't fly in the charter?
No, did not go through New Mexico. All fine. Head back to Chicago. Not the way the Cubs wanted the weekend to go. Lot of drama, a lot of missed opportunities, and a lot of reminders of why the Dodgers are, you know, the best team in baseball this season. And, you know, Joe Madden said bring them on, but boy, you want no part of that bullpen.
So what do you do here, Joe? With Joe Madden, we have people saying maybe bench Bryant and put LaStella in there,
on.
Right? That's where Cub fans, they're disgusted, right?
You know what though? I honest to God, and I think this is a serious conversation. I might bench Hayward. His bat you can carry.
Or Baez?
When you I would definitely bench Baez. I would put Happ and La Stella in and have Elmora play. I just think they need some energy, and they don't have it. And, David, maybe I'm wrong, because when you're not hitting, you look like you're sluggish and you have no energy.
Well, Mo, those are two very different scenarios. I mean, I don't disagree with that at all. I mean, I think you have a team that is really struggling to make contact, make anything happen. 7 hits in 2 games. You know, you want to introduce the idea of Ian Happ or Tommy La Stella. I'm all for that. I think Ian Happ has been underutilized in this postseason for a guy that has been as good as he was as a rookie. Now, that's a very separate conversation than benching, you know, the right. MVP, who's struggling in the midst of a mighty struggle and has struck out 13 out of 28 at-bats. But I still think you have to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Sure.
You don't with Jason Hayward. I mean, you're not going to miss his defense that much when you're struggling to make something happen offensively. So, yeah, I understand the frustration. I certainly have seen it in the clubhouse, on the field. This is a team that's pressing right now. But I don't think you want to get crazy and say, you know, no Chris Bryant, because that's lunacy.
Well, in your second paragraph of the column, you lay some of this blame right at the front office, Theo and Jed, for not doing more to bolster the bullpen. You can't do anything about that now. I mean, you take right. Justin Wilson off the roster and put Rondon on it, and you put him in a game situation when, you know, good luck. But Joe's, you know, I'd like my manager a little more focused on his team and not the lane rule for the catcher and all that. If, you know, meet with Joe Torre in December at the winter meetings. Don't take up time Saturday to go there and tell him why the rule stinks. It's a rule. Live with it and deal with it. Now deal with your team.
I think that's a valid criticism, Brian. I think that when it got there Saturday night after the game, I was quite surprised that Joe would spend as much time, you know, on that issue. Now, people will say, well, there are 12 of the 15 questions were asked of him. But you've been there. We've all been
It's
there.
A great diversionary tactic. You know, don't talk about the team. Let's talk about something that didn't really matter.
But, guys, in fairness, they made a great baseball play, okay? The rule is the rule, but they made a great baseball play. Joe comes out and screams and yells and gets thrown out of the game. Maybe he's trying to fire up his team. And then he goes back to his whole, you know, rigmarole, and he's doing his show. But maybe in his mind, he's trying to tell them, you made a great play and I got your back. I'm just saying that's to consider.
But the thing is that didn't affect the outcome as much.
Irrelevant.
Rondon.
Yeah.
And that to me was what was, you know, the obvious diversionary tactic. And then yesterday, continuing with meeting with Joe Torre, I don't necessarily want my manager concerned with that stuff.
Exactly.
Time.
No doubt.
You know, you've got a lot more on your mind. Now, look, the idea that I wrote and some people were talking about the fact that, you know, front office gave Joe a bullpen that has a lot of, you know, round pegs and square holes. I think that's also valid criticism. I know there's nothing you can do about it now, but I think last night underscored it. Here you are. I understand the Wade Davis dilemma, because this is a guy that gave you 44 pitches and 7 outs and all that. And he's still suffering the effects. He only had one inning, but the other options just weren't good enough. And, you know, John Lackey, something you're asking a 38-year-old starter to do something he hasn't done his entire career. That, to me, under these circumstances, just underscored what they don't have. And maybe I underestimated that weakness going into this series, but you're seeing the difference and the disparity between the team that is built for the postseason and the bullpen is, and a team that whose bullpen has been their Achilles heel all year long.
And this isn't second guessing, because I said it to a couple of people. You know, we weren't on the air, but I was talking to some of my brothers and friends. Why didn't you start Lackey? If Q was emotionally drained and had to come out of that game as early as you did, I mean, it didn't make sense that you would give him an extra day anyway after what he went through. And the numbers Lackey has career against the Dodgers are pretty damn good. Now, it's Clayton Kershaw. I get it. But now you got Lester on short rest, and he struggles through, can't get through 5. I mean, maybe that's their first mistake, because we know the bullpen. Look, and if the offense doesn't start swinging the bat, none of this really matters. But I thought they mishandled the starters.
Well, I respect that opinion, Brian. I think, though, that Quintana was great, and I know he had the one bad inning, but I don't think the flaw was in not starting Lackey, because I don't like any scenario that included that.
Well, then you don't have him out of the bullpen, thankfully.
Well, yeah, but I think the flaw was not in trusting Quintana to give one more inning. He did not
want to come out. I mean, he was committed. He was locked in. And I know he was struggling. But this new baseball, this new postseason approach where, you know, you're lucky if your starter gets to the sixth inning, I think has been somewhat, you know, it hurt the Cubs this weekend because I think Quintana could at least, given he deserved the right to start the inning. Now, what happens after that, I don't know. But I wasn't as in favor of as you were as probably starting Lackey because I think you saw last night, this is a guy, you know, who's at the end of the road and respect to the second half that he had. I just don't think that it was a great stage for him.
I didn't mind them starting Q, but I did mind him pulling him out.
Absolutely.
With two right-handers coming up. It made no sense to me. And David, it made no sense to me when they pulled him out of his first start at Wrigley when Schwarber commits two errors on a play and they get a guy at third, so let's pull Q. I mean, no, pull Schwarber. It's frustrating because I think he's falling into this Kyle Hendricks mode with Joe, where Joe thinks he's only got a certain amount to him, and I think that guy's got more.
I don't disagree with that. I think the big picture observation, you know, and I'm not, you know, you want to be fair because this is a very difficult series to manage, but the postseason, Joe's gambled a lot with his pitching staff and his moves. And some of them worked. A lot of them just leave you like scratching your head. And they've backfired and they've not been really, you know, calculated risks that have been worth it.
Why does the team stop hitting then? I mean, it's not his fault that the team stops hitting. I mean, we're talking about decisions he's made that we found questionable, but really might be irrelevant ultimately when your team won't score runs.
But, you know, you look at the last week, and it seems like it's been a month, but you look at the last week and it's Scherzer, Strasburg, Kershaw, Rich Hill, who imitated Kershaw.
Yep.
And then you get the best reliever in baseball in Kenley Jansen. This is the postseason pitching you're going to face. And this is a step up in class. And I don't think the offense, certainly the offense has not responded. But they have been against pitchers who are, you know, would fall into the category of elite. And yesterday Madden went on another sort of, aside and saying, you know, in today in baseball and in society, basically, that you spend so much time criticizing people for not what they're not doing, you forget to praise people what they do. And I think that you do have to have a tip of the cap to the Dodgers for being a lockdown bullpen. And for some of the starters that the Cubs have faced, have just been really guys who have risen to the occasion.
The game two clubhouse in the post game in Washington, the Cubs seemed to flush that loss and didn't seem to be bothered by it. Lackey certainly didn't seem to have swagger in the post game. What was the mood of the clubhouse? Because this one looks like it resonated these two games.
Well, it resonated because I think the shock of the walk-off, you don't see that in the postseason too often. A little quieter maybe, but I do think you have confidence that, you know, is born from experience. I thought that the players' maybe response to it was a little bit more conventional than, I think Joe's been a little bit all over the map here. You know, a little defensive in explaining the Wade Davis thing. You know, the fact that he wasn't available and only going to use for one inning. And because, you know, the contrast is obvious. I mean, Kenley Jansen's coming in to do whatever's necessary. And you got Wade Davis still reeling from a Thursday night outing, which was above and beyond. But I think the Cubs will come in and they'll be loose. They'll be relaxed back at Wrigley. But I think, Mo, you're right. I think that as much as we're going to spend time, you know, dwelling on the pitching decisions and the pitching choices, it's come down to offense. You got to start the bats. You got to do something to shake things up. And that's on the manager and that's on the players to come through when they're given the opportunities.
David, we were going to ask you about the Bears, but we've run out of time. I know you watched the game from out there. Any thoughts off the top of your head on that one?
Well, I think it's all about development in the season. And when you see Trubisky, who had pedestrian numbers, but step up and make a play when he has to. That's encouraging. That's the takeaway. And you give the credit to the defense. Special teams were a disaster, but I tell you what, the defense really came to play in Jordan Howard, yeoman's effort. And I just think this is a big moment for Mitch to win on the road and step in the right direction.
All right, buddy. Thank you. It's
it's
tough to cover a team that's beaten by UConn Cornelia. So it was nice of you to do that.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
You ever notice that, Joe? That Justin Turner is UConn. Cornelius.
Oh, wow.
I did. I saw some pictures of people throwing that out on Twitter.
I love that one.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. John Heyman joins us on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. Your CarX man has the lowest tire prices right now, John. Always a joy. Good morning, John. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Well, you know, we're hoping that just because teams are down a couple games doesn't mean that it's a fait accompli. Both series at this point, John, look like one team is dominant in it and not the teams maybe everybody was hoping for in terms of ratings for the World Series.
Well, yeah, the games have been close. So, I mean, I think the teams are very close, but 2-0 seems like a tough thing to overcome. Obviously, the Yankees did that in a 5-game series. So, and certainly in a 7-game series, it is a very, very possible to do it. But it's probably a big, big advantage, probably 80% chance to win when you're up 2-0.
If you were Joe Madden and Theo, would you just continue to do what you do and roll the same, basically the same guys out there in the same order? Or does the 0-2 hole coming home call for some sort of shakeup?
I think they're starting the right players. I would question a couple of the moves last night. I didn't think they were the best. But in terms of the players that they're starting, I can't disagree with that. I think their nucleus is excellent right now. Obviously, their best players, Bryant and et cetera, are not playing their best. So that's clearly an issue. But, you know, I might try Happ a little bit more. But other than that, I think they're starting the right players. It's the moves in-game that I would question, especially last night.
You know, can you play sort of the conventional bullpen baseball that people want to play nowadays if you don't have the conventional bullpen for that?
Well, I think this is why teams are using starting pitchers in relief, and the Cubs have done that, which has been beneficial to them. Lester's good in relief for starting. Some of the other teams haven't done as well with that. I do think you can't save your closer. I don't get that strategy. I thought that was solved for sure for the end with the Orioles not taking Zach Britton, who had probably the greatest closing year in history, out of the bullpen and using him in an extra inning game. But I didn't quite get yesterday, unless there's something going on with Davis. Now, I do think Madden did a great job using Davis for the 7-out save to win the key game 5 to get them there. But I have not heard of any issue with Davis. He did say he had him for only one inning, but you've got to use him for that one inning. You've got to extend the game when you're talking about a game that's tied, eighth inning, ninth inning, extra innings. You've got to go with Davis at some point. You cannot leave him in the bullpen.
Amen to that, John. And, you know, they asked John Lester, you mentioned the 44 pitches that he threw to help you get through Washington, and then you ask him for the first time in his postseason career to come in on short rest, and that's only third time in his baseball career of any game that he came off short rest and struggled, but couldn't get through 5. And then not only you have Lackey come out of the bullpen, you have him pitch consecutive nights in a game situation. So you're asking guys to do things they didn't do. And 3 weeks ago, you're asking Wade Davis, you're trying to get him a 5-out save because you want him to get used to the idea. But now you just seem to be, you know, throwing stuff at the wall and hoping it sticks.
Yeah, well, like I said, I thought the Davis move was great, and I thought we were just going to see a lot of him in the series. And, you know, I do think the Dodgers had a pretty big advantage going into this series. They had thrown 300-something pitches in the postseason. Cubs had thrown 700-something pitches. Not a surprise. The Cubs had played many more games. They'd played tougher games. And, you know, I mean, I think that was to be expected the way things went, but that certainly gave the Dodgers a big, big advantage. One other advantage they have, anyway, is their bullpen is much deeper. Obviously, Wilson has not panned out with the Cubs. That's hurt them badly. They gave up Candelario for him, and they expected much more, and why wouldn't they? He just has not been himself. The Dodgers' bullpen, which was pretty good, was enhanced with putting Maeda in the pen. Maeda, a pretty good starter, underrated starter, didn't do great last year as a playoff starter. They said they'd you have him in the pen as a weapon, and they are right. He has been really good. Obviously, Kenley Jansen, best reliever in baseball, that gives them a big advantage to start. But you get into these close games, I think the Cubs are at a disadvantage to begin with due to the bullpen matchup. But then if you take Davis out of the equation, they are really at a major disadvantage.
How do you get your best hitters to hit in the playoffs? I mean, when you see guys like Bryant and Rizzo struggle, you can't take them out. You can't really do anything about it. What do you do?
Yeah, I mean, if you're Bryant or Rizzo and you're one of the best hitters and players in the game, you're not going to be taken out. We've seen this many, many times. You're facing only the best pitchers. So, you know, a 300 average is incredible. A 200 average isn't as bad as it seems. You're only facing teams number one, two, and three starters, and generally they're three best relievers, if that. So the batting averages are not going to be as good to begin with, but these guys are slumping. I mean, I've seen guys who are really good players slump, like Tino Martinez, and they will replace them with somebody, but you're not going to replace Bryant or Rizzo, so you just got to hope for the best. There's nothing else you can do about it.
Scott Boras was in L.A. and you know, basically said, hey, don't look at Jake's postseason necessarily this year or one game. Look at his whole body of work. Is he getting talking about indicating they would re-sign with the Cubs, is he getting a little nervous that the market isn't going to be what they hoped it would be when he gets to the free agent market?
Yeah, I don't think he'd be nervous about Arrieta. Arrieta had a big second half. He's got a leg issue that slowed him down at the end. Obviously, it has still slowed him down here into the postseason. His postseason record overall is very good. So I don't think he's nervous about that one. I don't think the Cubs made an offer that you would want to take if you're them, because you know, the Cubs don't want to go crazy with over 30 pitchers. And I think that's not necessarily a bad move by the Cubs. I fully understand why they did that. But I don't think we know of a huge offer that they turned down. I think in free agency, these pitchers do so well. Even if it's a guy with some little questions here and there, like Arrieta, he's going to do great. If Boras is going to be nervous about somebody, it's probably Carlos Gonzalez, who they did have an offer for, did not have a good year at all. In fact, had a poor overall year. Now he's going to talk about his great finish. You know, he's on the mend. He had the sleep deprivation. He's doing great now. That's the one he could probably have some regrets on. But Arrieta, I don't think they had a big offer that they were going to turn down that was better than what they're going to be able to get. Arrieta is still going to do very, very well on the free agent market. He may not get $200 million, but he's going to get over $100 million. So you can't have too many regrets there.
Well, John, when we start talking about you know, home field and all that stuff, what changes when you come home? What will make you play better at home than you do on the road? And you know, you're going to have to win one on the road in order to get this done.
Yeah, well, for one thing, the managers will use that best pitcher, as we saw with Kenley Jansen, and maybe Dave Roberts has a different idea than Joe Maddon anyway, but we know we're going to see Wade Davis in a tie game at home. So that's one thing. But, I mean, it seems like the teams at home have done much better this postseason for whatever reason. Baseball home field advantage isn't considered that huge, but so far it has been, other than Yankees winning Game 5 at Cleveland. You know, so, I mean, obviously Wrigley Field should be a nice advantage for the Cubs. They had nice wins in Cleveland last year to win the World Series, but I do think going home, they're going to have an advantage for the next few games.
And I know Joe talked about there's a difference between the time of the game, going back to the four-hour, 27-minute game in Washington, and the pace of the game, but we know the commissioner's all about the pace of the game, and yet not only the time, the length of the game, now you're starting a game here at 8 o'clock tomorrow night. And who does that serve? Because these games go well past 3 hours and sometimes past 4 hours.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's about TV and the fact that in the West Coast, if you look at the totality of when the games start, they know that the ratings are better when they start these games late. I don't like it. I disagree with it. I do work at MLB Network, so, you know, I'm not going along with the decision here. I think the games are way too late. Those Yankee games in the first series, wild card, they all ended after midnight that I recall. You know, that is too late for me. You're not going to have your fans, your young fans, if you do that. I think it's a mistake. These games starting 8 o'clock East Coast time, or 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock even, terrible. I don't like that at all. I think you want to get the young fans, and you want to have a big picture look at things, a big view, and I think it's a mistake.
All righty, John. Thank you, buddy. Great catching up with you. We're obviously everyone's kind of on the edge of their seat.
I understand. Yeah. I understand. Good. Hang in there, guys.
Okay,
right,
buddy.
Thanks, John.
Next year for the White Sox. So then you
guys. Wow.
Maybe they'll meet. Maybe they'll meet in 2 years in that. And that World Series, what do you think? That would that be 2019 World Series?
Yeah, work.
Yeah, I think we'd all be happy with that, wouldn't we?
Who will be managing the Cubs at that time?
Oh, boy.
Wow. See? I think it's still Joe, isn't it? How old is he? 63?
63.
He only looks like 55. Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.